Welcome to the Council of Trent podcast, a production of Catholic Answers.
TV wouldn't lie to us, right? I mean, it's been there for us through good times and in bad, especially if it's reality TV, right? It has reality in the name. Well, of course they do, but don't you want to know how they do it? That's what we're going to talk about today here on the Council of Trent podcast. I'm your host, Catholic Answers apologist and speaker, Trent Horn. On Monday and Wednesday, we talk apologetics, theology, how to explain and defend the Catholic faith. But on Friday, we talk about whatever I want to talk about. And today, I want to talk about reality television. Now, I remember, they've had reality television around for some time. I remember when I was in the 90s, The Real World was the big reality TV thing. Find out when things, I think it was Find Out When Things Stop Being Polite and Start Getting Real, The Real World. I remember it was a big deal when there was a Catholic speaker, I think his name was Matt Smith, was put on The Real World. And then he gave talks and people knew him a lot. This was back in the early 2000s because he was on The Real World in the late 90s. But I think reality TV really started to take off in the year 2000 because in May of 2000, Survivor debuted. And that was one of the first reality type game shows. Because before that, game shows were of just, a typical game show format. You spun the wheel, you answered the question, you got dipped in slime because you did the Double Dare. Man, Double Dare, that was a great show, right? But then after that, they had Survivor, and then Big Brother was another one, which was like Real World on steroids, where you're just watching people constantly. My mom loved Real World. She would log in online to watch them, and she got really into that and enjoyed that show. But it's been, 20 years we've had reality television, and it's still with us. And it's amazing to me to see how reality television has overtaken spaces. Like, I'm old enough to remember something called the Learning Channel. Those of you in the younger demographic probably know this channel as TLC. That has wonderful educational content like My 600-Pound Life or Hoarders. Or, why is Hoarders TLC? I thought that was A&E. A&E used to be Arts and it's so bad. There's this movie, Idiocracy, created by Mike Judge. Judge is his name. He's the guy who does King of the Hill. And every day, the movie Idiocracy, I'm like, every day we're getting closer to Idiocracy. How things are getting dumber and dumber. I can't believe it. But the stuff that's on A&E, which used to be Arts and Entertainment, TLC used to be the Learning Channel. I remember when I was a kid, I was probably like 12 years old. And one of my favorite things to do is on a Saturday, I would watch, they had all these great documentaries on the Learning Channel. I would just sit there for hours watching cable television. And I learned a ton actually doing that. That's why I have this fodder for Free For All Friday. Ooh, that was good alliteration there. I learned what alliteration was with TLC. Fodder for Free For All Friday. So you just spent your weekends as a kid watching the Learning Channel? Nerd. Well, that's everybody spends their youngster years in different ways, I suppose. But I remember it was really good documentaries. And then suddenly it became, not as many people are interested in actually learning. A lot of people are just kind of voyeurs that want to watch the equivalent of televised junk food. And then so these reality television programs begin to pop up more on these cable channels, and you see it all over. I will confess, I've said this on the show before, my wife and I started watching a reality television show, Married at First Sight. We're not proud of it. The only reason we started watching it was in August of 2021, we got hit with COVID-19, with the Omicron strain. And it absolutely knocked us on our butts. It was rough. I mean, COVID is a rough thing when you first get it. And so I remember, we would, after tending to the kids as best we could, we felt like our brains were mush. And we just sat on the couch and we're like, let's watch this Married at First Sight. Okay, it's where strangers are hand-selected by judges to, you marry a complete stranger. And then after 6 weeks, you decide if you want to get an annulment or not, or get a divorce. You're legally married. And it's terrible. Probably shouldn't have watched it. But COVID had turned our brains into mush. And with mushy brains, we felt like we just wanted to watch something stupid. And so we watched it. But it's funny, when you look at these shows, they claim to be real. You know they're fake deep down, but they also use particular techniques to disguise the fakeness and what they do. So I'm going to go through some of these, and you can keep an eye out for them when you watch it. In certain shows. So Let's start. Well, I'll go through it roughly by genre. So let's talk about competition shows. So a lot of reality TV, a lot of it is based on competition shows. You have like The Voice, for example, X Factor, Chopped, shows where contestants are competing and then judges will make a final decision if they're going to move ahead in the process or not. Now, here's the thing. According to this article, in most competition shows, a clause in the contract says the producer, not the judges, has the final say in who's eliminated in various rounds. The judges usually make the picks, but producers do step in occasionally and say, this person is really good for the show. I don't want him kicked off just yet. Now, here's something interesting about this. Back in the 1950s, and I talked about this here on the podcast, you had the quiz show scandals, shows like Dotto, 21, and these were hugely popular shows that kicked off the game show genre back in the 1950s. But they were, some of them were rigged. On, I think it was on 21, you had someone who was continually winning, but he wasn't as photogenic. People didn't like him as much. And the producers identified a new contestant who was younger. He looked good on camera, and they wanted him to win. So they rigged the show and got the reigning champion in on it to throw the game. And they were giving correct answers to the guy that they wanted to be in the competition. And then this was discovered, and there was a huge scandal that erupted, and Congress ended up passing laws related to quiz shows that prohibited them from fixing competitions. So even today with game shows, if it is a game show where it is a game of skill, well, not necessarily a game of skill, but where it's a game of intellect, where you have to answer a question, there's an objective question that you answer. I don't know if it applies to other issues, but if it's definitely a game show where you answer a question, it is illegal for the producers to fix the show and determine who's going to win by feeding them questions and that they're not allowed to fix it in that way. But this does not, this rule does not apply to competition shows where the judging is not based on some kind of objective fact, like on Jeopardy or Wheel of Fortune. Wheel of Fortune, you either got the puzzle or you didn't. Jeopardy, you either got the correct answer or you didn't. I guess the correct question. The phrase is the answer, right? But let's say on Chopped or The Voice, like, was this person a good enough singer to be in the competition? It's totally subjective. There's no way you can prove the judges fixed something and that a person objectively did or did not deserve to be in a competition. Because it's subjective in that way, the rules that were passed in relation to the quiz show scandals don't apply to competition shows. So the competition shows, if it's a subjectively based competition, they can be completely fixed where it's not the judges who decide, it's the producers who end up deciding. Also, however, even in game shows, so while game shows, they might not be fixing the contestants, they often will fix the audience. According to one Redditor, I worked as a paid audience member on a game show. They went to Deal or No Deal, and they said that the producers would tell one section of the audience to yell deal, another section had to yell no deal. Sometimes the production team will tell the audience to cheer, boo, lightly applause, act shocked when a contestant is on stage, just to have a variety of reactions filmed. On these competition shows, also, you perform for off-camera judges. That makes sense. I mean, Simon Cowell did not interview every single person that went through American Idol. So you go through off-camera judges, and if you see a bad singer performing on television, they were approved by somebody else in the casting department because they thought they were hilarious. Sometimes on game shows, it's funny, they get a little technical about how they give away things. There was a case someone on Reddit said that their father had won a lifetime supply of WD-40. I don't know if this is real or not, but they said it was real. So, hey, it's reality TV. I'm willing to believe all these stories. They were given a lifetime supply of WD-40, but since WD-40 lasts 20 years, they were only given 4 cans. I don't know. That was someone claimed that was what happened. You be the judge here on this reality TV Free for All Friday. They also do a lot to try to get in some of these competition shows to get genuine reaction shots to use for editing. And sometimes they can be a little bit cruel when they do that. According to this article, when contestants are eliminated from The Bachelor or The Bachelorette, they are driven away from the shared contestant house in a limo and interviewed about the process. At times, producers refuse to let eliminated contestants out of the limo until they reveal how they're feeling. They even make those likely to be leaving believe they have a better chance of remaining on the show so that they will be more upset in their eliminations. This illustrates how producers and their quest for drama can sometimes go too far. So those are some of the things that they do on competition shows, that little fakey. Let's talk more about sort of these drama shows that aren't necessarily about competition. One of the most popular genres in the non-competition reality shows are house hunting shows. You got these all over HGTV, home and garden television. My goodness. It's funny, though, the Food Network's been around for a while, and that was just people making food. And eventually people could not just watch other people making food all day, and they got these reality TV shows like Chopped. Well, this one isn't on, it's not on Food Network. I think it was on Netflix, but it's the one, Is It Cake? Just, can you guess if this is really cake or not cake? Idiocracy is here, people. It's here. But you have Love It or List It. You have these house hunting shows where people go and they have their budgets. It's like, can I afford this? Can we find the right house for them? These are completely fake. They're totally fake. The Love It or List It, the house hunter shows, because one of the stipulations in the contract for these shows is that you're in the process of closing on a home. You've basically already decided which home you're going to buy. Because here, let me ask you this. When you saw like a Love It or List It or a house hunting home, how often do they just not buy any house whatsoever? They don't. They always end up picking something. And so in order to have a good show, they end up, they just pick people who already made a decision. And it's not necessarily documenting, here's what they really did, and oh, the drama of picking one house over another. They admit they're recreating a moment that happened in the past when they were house hunting for these shows. On HGTV, they released a statement regarding this, and they said, "We're making a television show, so we manage certain production and time constraints while honoring the home buying process. To maximize production time, we seek out families who are pretty far along in the process. Often everything moves much more quickly than we can anticipate, so we go back and revisit some of the homes that the family has already seen, and we capture their authentic reactions." Oh yeah, it's so authentic because they already did this. You're just asking them to pretend to act like they did a while back. Because the stakes in real estate are so high, these homeowners always find themselves right back in the moment, experiencing the same emotions and reactions for these properties. So in some cases, when they do these home buying shows, the homes they visit are not even on the market. It's just homes from the friends of the producers they put out there to symbolize maybe a previous home they looked at, because maybe the home that they looked at before is no longer, they have access to it for the show. So they go and look at this other house instead they never intended buying. These are the fakiest of fake shows that are out there. So the other common one would probably be the drama shows, right? So you have reality shows based on winning things. You have reality shows based on fixing or buying things. Also on the fixer-upper ones, those a lot of time are fake. They can be construction. They make it look like it all happened over a weekend, but a lot of times it can take weeks that's put together. There are unsubstantiated reports that some of these shows where you have, what is it, the Gaines, Chip, and what are they? I don't watch these shows. I just barely know who's in them. Or the Property Brothers, that some of those people that do the fixer-upper shows, they only, and this makes sense to me, there are claims that they only work on the house when the cameras are there, and then they have another contractor crew they hire, and they go and fix up everything. But probably one of the most common ones, I mean, this kind of goes into competition shows a little bit, but especially for drama shows that are just about people living together and trying to document their lives. Sometimes they're living together and they're all competing for a particular prize or something like that. But other times they're just living together. And the point of watching it is to just see the drama that is going on in these particular shows. And in order to stage up the drama, they have hours and hours and hours of footage. They have to splice it together. And in order to tell a story, they will be very tricky with the edits. So some things to look for when you're watching some of these shows. Honestly, hopefully you're not, but if you end up coming across them, take a look out for these. One is that they use certain types of props and wardrobe to hide continuity edits. Now, I used to be an editor, video editor for many years. I worked at a television station, And I still edit things. Like I edit my own, I edit the videos for Council of Trent podcast. It's just easier. I record them. It's easier if I just edit them and I send them to Catholic Answers for final production and uploading. But and I'm grateful for my experience working in a TV station that I can do this stuff and get it done pretty fast. So when they show two people having a conversation at dinner, some of the shows will use opaque glasses. So they'll have just like a gold plastic cup, for example, or a red cup with their drinks in it. And the reason for that is if it was a glass with colored liquid, if they're cutting and they're splicing together a conversation and reaction shots at different points in the meal, you might notice that the glass will magically refill itself, magically go back down, and the glass will keep changing. So they have to watch out for continuity in the edits. And so what they'll do is they'll use opaque glasses or opaque cups so you can't see through to see the level of liquid or anything else that would show there's been a continuity error, that they're splicing together stuff. You know, a conversation is actually something that was said an hour apart or even 10 or 15 minutes apart in a meal when you've been drinking your glass. You get the idea. Another one is, you know, in reality TV shows, they'll have the confessional. So they'll show people talking. Oh, they're in the conversation. They're doing the thing in the living room. And they'll take them aside. And in the confessional booth, what did you think really happened there? What do you think? What do you think Tatiana really meant by that? And they'll do the confessional. But they always have the contestants wearing the same outfits in the confessional, often through the whole episode or the whole season, so that it's easy for them to splice together different, they can just get different sentences and splice together. Do it. It's quite amazing how they're able to pull that off. Another thing that they do in these drama shows to cover their tracks is if something happens but they miss it, they'll just recreate the moment. They'll ask the actors to recreate it. According to this post online, there is a Netflix documentary, Bling Ring, The Real Bling Ring Hollywood Heist. And it says that there was a scene that tries to show the cops showing up at Alexis Nyer's house on her reality show, Pretty Wild. But it says, so I guess this documentary talks about this reality show, Pretty Wild. And it says in there that when the cops show, like there's a scene like they show up like, well, open the door, the police. And they're banging. She's like, oh, my goodness, that was just the producers banging on the door on the outside to recreate when the police came, when the cameras were not rolling. You can see this online that they show different scenes on reality shows where some of the footage has been recreated because you can see in a fight, one of the characters, women, are wearing socks and shoes and the other is not wearing socks and her shoes. And there's little continuity errors pop up. Also, in these drama shows, usually contestants have to sign a contract saying that they know that the producers can paint them in a defamatory, unflattering light and can basically lie about them. So they have that in there to keep from being sued in that regard. And especially when they work through this, they'll often tell people to play particular roles in these drama shows. According to one Redditor, I once had a woman cast as a villain who turned out to be the nicest lady ever. As a producer, I sat her down and I said, listen, you were cast in this role. If you want to make good TV, if you want the series to come back and make more money next year, you need to play along. If you don't, you're going to be cut out entirely. So they'll do that. Then some of the producers can be very involved in these shows to craft the narrative in a particular way. This is especially evident in the earlier seasons of Keeping Up with the Kardashians. It says here in this article, the mother, Kris Kardashian, had been a producer, so the goal was always to make sure her children come across in the most positive way possible. Subsequently, in any confrontation, their boyfriends are more often than not presented as being in the wrong. This could be the truth. The article goes on to say, after the breakdown of Kim Kardashian's marriage to Chris Humphries, I think he was like a basketball player, the producers constructed a scene to make Kim come across more favorably. One of the producers, Russell J., admitted that a scene where Kim confesses that she was struggling in her marriage was shot after she had filed for divorce. He stressed that it did not take place during a trip to Dubai, as the footage claimed. The scene made her seem more sympathetic, as she admitted to her mother she could be herself without Humphries. Jay could be lying about this, but it says that Kim and her mother were claimed to be seen entering a soundstage in Hollywood 3 months later in the same clothes they wore on the Dubai trip. So more into these reality shows. I, like I said, the only one I saw in detail was when I was absolutely destroyed by COVID and I literally had brain damage. So I think you can give me and Laura a pass on that. I remember when I was a lot younger, this would have been like 10 years ago, when Keeping Up with the Kardashians came out. It was on the E! Channel. One of my favorite shows on E! Was actually Talk Soup with Joel McHale, who's later in Community. That was a great show. That really showed he's a funny guy. And I remember clicking on Keeping Up with the Kardashians. This has been, what, I don't know, 2008, 2009. And I thought, wow, this is pretty dumb, but everybody is talking about this. And there was an episode that I clicked on that had a small conflict element that I do think was real. And it has always stuck with me ever since then, because this was a long time ago. This was in, you know, 2008, 2009. And it involved, so this was back when Caitlyn Jenner was Bruce Jenner, for example, way different with the Kardashian family. And one of the younger daughters, not the trifecta, what is it, Kim, Courtney, I can't remember, but it's the younger ones, Kylie, Kendall, come on, you really have to have that many Ks? We're the KKK family. Oh no, not a good idea. So it was one of the younger daughters who are now Kendall Jenner, Kylie Jenner. I think Kylie Jenner is worth like $1 billion. Her sister Kendall Jenner, I think her net worth is $50 million. Not so successful. $50 million, is that the best you could do? But $1 billion. I don't remember if this involved Kendall or Kylie. If it involved Kylie, that, I mean, it's definitely, this episode I remember was very indicative of their business acumen as young children. So let's just say it was Kylie, who is now worth $1 billion. This was back when she was probably like 10 or 12 years old, like very young, like 10 or 12 years old, like a preteen. And Bruce Jenner tells her, I'm going to pay you like $50 to mow the lawn. And so, you know, they're rich. So he pays her an exorbitant amount of money to mow the lawn. And then she takes the money and takes half of it and just pays a landscaper to mow the lawn instead. And she kept the other half of the money. And then he finds out and says, no, this is for you to do it. You have to learn responsibility. But that always stuck with me. That was probably 15 years ago. But that little part of the show, and I feel like it was real because it's such an innocuous thing. It's not an over-the-top crazy thing. But I thought, yeah, I could see someone doing this. And I thought, wow, if you're 11 years old and you figure out that you can just do this with money, and it's easier to divert your money like this to make money, wow, that's pretty shrewd. And so it would be so interesting, especially if it was Kylie who does this when she's 11, and now she's worth $1 billion, that, you know, you can identify. Some people have business acumen in the chops very early on. So I thought that was interesting. Finally, some of these reality shows you think are fake, but they are real in a sense. According to this article, Judge Judy, a lot of people think Judge Judy is fake. They think that the Judge Judy, it's just everything there is made up. It's not real. But apparently it is real, though it's not like a real courtroom per se. This is what the article says. I love Judge Judy. Hey, 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 I'm the boss, applesauce. Judge Judy has been entertaining audiences with witty rebuttals and a keen sense of justice for over two decades. Despite the show's popularity, some of the cases brought before the judge have been so preposterous that audiences wondered if they were real. Viewers can lay their worries to rest. Judge Judy actually has 65 researchers sifting through the country's small claims courts. When they come across an interesting case, they contact the two sides to hear if they would like to appear on the show. If this is the case, the claim must be taken out of court and into arbitration. Nevertheless, there are some details which viewers are not privy. The two sides receive compensation for participating, and the outcome is decided before filming begins. So definitely faked in that regard, but I guess these are real conflicts people have with one another, as goofy as they can be on Judge Judy. And you enter into an arbitration, legal arbitration with lawyers rather than in a small claims court. And it's a facade illustrated through the antics of Judge Judy. But hey, hope that was fun to talk about reality TV without having to watch reality TV. Now you know what to look for. And maybe you'll find it even in things that are supposed to be real, like the news. Or you might notice some of these ways to hide continuity errors and frame the narrative. Maybe on the future Free For All Friday, I'll talk about how the news fakes things, which is not funny like it would be on reality TV. But thank you guys, and I hope you have a very blessed weekend.
If you like today's episode, become a premium subscriber at our Patreon page and get access to member-only content. For more information, visit TrentHornPodcast.com.